different things. 1. Etiological and clinical relations, as when a dream represents or initiates a psychotic condition, or when it leaves such a condition behind it. 2. Changes to which the dream life is subjected in mental diseases. 3. Inner relations between the dream and the psychoses, analogies indicating an intimate relationship. These manifold relations between the two series of phenomena have been a favourite theme of medical authors in the earlier periods of medical science, and again in recent times, as we learn from the literature of the subject gathered from Spitta, Radstock, Mori and Tissier. Santé de Sanctis has lately directed his attention to this relationship. For the purposes of our discussion, it will suffice merely to glance at this important subject. In regard to the clinical and etiological relations between the dream and the psychoses, I will report the following observations as paradigms. Hohenbaum asserts, see Krauss, page 39, that the first attack of insanity frequently originates in an anxious and terrifying dream, and that the ruling idea has connection with this dream. Santé de Sanctis adduces similar observations in Paranoiacs, and declares the dream to be, in some of them, the vraie cause déterminante de la folie. The psychosis may come to life all of a sudden, with the dream causing and containing the explanation for the mental disturbances, or it may slowly develop through further dreams that have yet to struggle against doubt. In one of de Sanctis's cases, the affecting dream was accompanied by light hysterical attacks, which in their turn were followed by an anxious, melancholic state. Ferré, cited by Tissier, refers to a dream which caused an hysterical paralysis. Here the dream is offered us as an etiology of mental disturbance, though we equally consider the prevailing conditions when we declare that the mental disturbance shows its first manifestation in dream life, that it has its first outbreak in the dream. In other instances, the dream life contained the morbid symptoms, or the psychosis was limited to the dream life. Thus, Thomeyer calls attention to anxiety dreams, which must be conceived as equivalent to epileptic attacks. Allison has described nocturnal insanity, cited by Radstock, in which the subjects are apparently perfectly well in the daytime, while hallucinations, fits of frenzy and the like regularly appear at night. De Sanctis and Tissier report similar observations. Paranoiac dream equivalent in an alcoholic, voices accusing a wife of infidelity. Tissier reports abundant observations from recent times in which actions of a pathological character, based on delusions, obsessive impulses, had their origin in dreams. Gieselin describes a case in which sleep was replaced by an intermittent insanity. There is hardly any doubt that along with the psychology of the dream, the physician will one day occupy himself with the psychopathology of the dream. In cases of convalescence from insanity, it is often especially obvious that, while the functions of the day are normal, the dream life may still belong to the psychosis. Gregory is said first to have called attention to such cases, cited by Krauss. Macario, reported by Tissier, gives account of a maniac who, a week after his complete recovery, again experienced in dreams the flight of ideas and the passionate impulses of his disease. Concerning the changes to which the dream life is subjected in chronic psychotic persons, very few investigations have so far been made. On the other hand, timely attention has been called to the inner relationship between the dream and mental disturbance, which shows itself in an extensive agreement of the manifestations occurring to both. According to Mori, Kubanis, in his Rapport du physique et du moral, first called attention to this. Following him came Lelut, J. Moreau, and more particularly the philosopher Man de Biran. To be sure, the comparison is still older. Radstock begins the chapter dealing with this comparison by giving a collection of expressions showing the analogy between the dream and insanity. Kant somewhere says, "The lunatic is a dreamer in the waking state." According to Krauss, insanity is a dream with the senses awake. Schopenhauer terms the dream a short insanity, and insanity a long dream. Hagen describes the delirium as dream life which has not been caused by sleep, but by disease. Wundt in the Physiological Psychology declares, "As a matter of fact, we may in the dream ourselves live through almost all symptoms which we meet in the insane asylums." The specific agreements, on the basis of which such an identification commends itself to the understanding, are enumerated by Spitta, and indeed very similarly by Mori in the following grouping. 1. suspension or at least retardation of self-consciousness, consequent ignorance of the condition as such, and hence incapability of astonishment and lack of moral consciousness. 2. Modified perception of the sensory organs, that is, perception is diminished in the dream and generally enhanced in insanity. 3. Combination of ideas with each other exclusively in accordance with the laws of association and of reproduction. Hence, automatic formation of groups, and for this reason, disproportion in the relations between ideas, exaggerations, phantasms, and as a result of all this, 4. Changing or transformation of the personality, and at times of the peculiarities of character, perversities. Radistock gives some additional features or analogies in the material. Most hallucinations and illusions are found in the sphere of the senses of sight and hearing and general sensation. As in the dream, the smallest number of elements is supplied by the senses of smell and taste. The fever patient, like the dreamer, is assaulted by reminiscences from the remote past. What the waking and healthy man seems to have forgotten is recollected in sleep and in disease. The analogy between the dream and the psychosis receives its full value only when, like a family resemblance, it is extended to the finer mimicry and to the individual peculiarities of facial expression. To him who is tortured by physical and mental sufferings, the dream accords what has been denied him by reality, to wit, physical well-being and happiness. So the insane, too, see the bright pictures of happiness, greatness, sublimity and riches, the supposed possession of estates and the imaginary fulfillment of wishes, the denial or destruction of which have just served as a psychic cause of the insanity, often form the main content of the delirium. The woman who has lost a dearly beloved child in her delirium experiences maternal joys. The man who has suffered reverses of fortune